Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 and 6, and then we'll also be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. We might get back there tonight. I want to encourage you, we'll be here at least two more Wednesdays besides tonight, and I want you to invite people that need a miracle in their body. And I need you to tell them, we go to church at Living Way, and Living Way believes in miracles. And go ahead and tell them, at my church, people have been healed of cancer. People have been healed of HIV. People have had their eyes open. People have had their ears unstopped. Women that doctors have looked at them and told them that they would not have children. Not only have they had children at Living Way, but they've been raised up. They've served here. They graduated high school. They're adults. One of the greatest young couples in this church is a result of a doctor telling them 25, probably 30 years ago now, that they would never have kids. And not only did they have kids, they had two. And one of those kids is still here, married and raising their kids at Living Way. So I encourage you, reach out, find somebody, and let's pray the prayer of faith on Sunday and on Wednesday, especially on these Wednesdays, that they would be healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Somebody say, we are healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Somebody say, you were healed. We are in our series on healed, and that's in every sense of that word. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am healed. Now, I just want you to declare this out of the atmosphere so all of heaven and all of hell can hear you. I am healed, healthy, and whole. I am healed, healthy, and whole. Can I encourage you, if you've had a bad report from the doctor, I just want you to lay hands on yourself wherever that ailment is and just say, I am healed, healthy, and whole. Maybe it's your mind. I am healed, healthy, and whole. Maybe it's your spouse. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Actually, you might want to do that. Go ahead and do that. Praise God. You may be seated in the house of God tonight. I am walking a season where I am trusting God for health and healing. And I am walking that path with my wife as well, and we have seen the faithfulness of God again and again and again. Doctors saying this, and then a few weeks later, having to reverse course. And I don't think they were wrong the first time. Remember this, when a doctor does or says what they say, they are giving you prayer points. And they're giving you a place for you to attack with your faith. Because how many of you know a focused faith is a working faith? Praise God. A focused faith is a productive faith. And so when we say, I am healed, I know a lot of times that goes right over our head because we think, well, I'm in pretty good health and in pretty good shape. But I'm talking about healing and health in every conceivable way. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm talking about healing and health in our mind, our emotions, our relationships. Not just our body, not just our spirit, but everything that is connected to us. A lot of times, and what we've been talking about the past couple sessions is that most of the world has gotten very comfortable with hurting and very comfortable with pain and very comfortable with dealing with the symptoms, but not dealing with the solutions. Last session, we left off in one of my favorite portions of scripture about healing. And I love what the Word of God says in James chapter 5, verse 14. If there is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Aren't you glad that you are in a New Testament church? That when you call and you say, I have this going on in my body, or I have this going on in my life, we don't have to send you somewhere, but we can pray the prayer of faith. If it happens to be on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we will anoint you and lay our hands on you because we believe that the power of God is just as alive today as it was in the New Testament. And I believe that it is gaining power, which means it is stronger today than it was 2,000 years ago. there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We had a special moment on Saturday or Friday night at the men's retreat weekend. Pastor Charlie, who's been coming to prayer class on Thursdays, he said, I brought 70, I think it was 72, or maybe it was 36. He said, I brought 36 handkerchiefs that have been anointed with oil. He said, bishops prayed for him, Pastor Becky's prayed for him, and the prayer team on Thursday night has prayed for him. And he said, I want us to give those out on Friday. I said, hey, we're going to take communion. And I said, it's going to be a great night for us to distribute those. But I said, we got more than 36 people. I need you to take those handkerchiefs and cut them in half. And then he cut them in half, and then we had almost 100 men show up. And so I said, hey, take them again and cut them in half again. So we ended up with about 130 handkerchiefs, and we had every man take a handkerchief. Some of us took two handkerchiefs, and we were going to send them to sick people. We were going to give them to sick people. We were going to slip them in the pillowcases of spouses. We're going to put them in our wallets. Why? Because we believe that when the power of God is preached and when the power of God is released, that healing is not a maybe and an option. Healing is a promise from God. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Somebody say, save me and raise me. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I love that God does it all. He said, I'll take care of your sins and your sickness. He said, I'll make sure you've got a spot in heaven, but I'll make sure that your body is healthy, that your situation is healed on this earth. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. You should never confess your faults to somebody that's not willing to stop everything they're doing and pray for you at the drop of a hat. Not only do you want them to pray for you, but you want to make sure they are a righteous man or a righteous woman, because the Bible says at the end of this verse that the prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much. It accomplishes much. They are effective. There are too many people praying empty prayers. Even ESPN broadcasters pray. Something happens in the sports world, a horrific injury happens. We lose one of the great NFL or NBA players, and every broadcaster online says, our thoughts and our prayers are with the family. Just who are you praying to, and what are you praying, and are you righteous? That's what I need to know. I'm praying to Jesus, praise God. I'm declaring the word of God in my prayer, and I am a righteous man. You are a righteous man or woman. And so when you pray to a God that not only hears you, but unleashed that power, I believe that healing takes effect. Somebody say, it is God's will to heal. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, that you may as prosper, number one, be in health, number two, even as thy soul prospereth, number three. The order of the importance of these three is reversed, and we'll get back to that in just a second. The number one thing that John says, what's the first word of this passage? Beloved. Who is it written to? The ones that God loves. Which means that it is God's will that there not be one person walking the face of this earth that has to deal with sickness or pain left untreated by the promise. Just like Jesus died for everyone, he also bled and took stripes on his back for every sickness. And that's the sickness of the heathen. That's the sickness of the unjust. That's the sickness of the unrighteous. But it is up to the righteous people of God to unlock that promise and unleash that promise into our world and into our life. I believe this, church. I believe that I can go lay hands on a straight up heathen and God not heal them because of them, but literally heal their body because a righteous man said, Lord, you love them and I know you're going to heal them. And here's the greatest thing. Somebody gets healed from a sickness and they went into the hospital one way. You pray for them and they walk out. Guess who they're going to give their life to and follow? From that point on, they're going to say, man, this Jesus thing is real. This prayer thing works. This is something that I didn't give enough thought to. Could it be that you unleashing healing into somebody's life is the final seed that needs to be planted that brings them to Jesus and a revelation of who Jesus is? So he said, beloved, he said, to everyone that God loves, this is the promise. I wish above all that you mayest prosper. A gentleman asked me years ago, because he knows what I preach, what we preach, he said, do you believe that everybody on the face of the earth is supposed to be a millionaire? You believe in prosperity. I said, I don't know if everyone is supposed to be, but everyone can be. That was a good place to say amen. But I said, you have mistaken prosperity and riches. You can be prosperous and pay all your bills and have $10 left over. See, to me, prosperity is not how much I have. It's how much I have left after all the bills are paid, after all my needs are met. Now, I don't want to dumb down your faith. I do want you to be blessed. And I want you to be blessed in such a way that you can fund the kingdom of God, and you can fund missions, and you can fund projects. One of my bucket list items is I want to be able to write the check for Ignite Summer Camp 1 year for our teens. I want to just be able to write $100,000 and say, hey, go find 300 or 400 kids to go. Oh, 600 want to go? Here's $200,000 and let's just send. I want God to bless me in that way. But this is what he starts talking about. He says, I wish above all else that you would prosper and that you would be in health. The least most important part of these three is our prosperity, more than what we need. But the second thing he says is he says, my wish for you is that you would be in health. It is a miracle when Jesus heals you. It is just as big of a miracle or a bigger miracle when he keeps you healed and he keeps you whole. You just think about all of the days that you've lived, and the days that you lived that you didn't go to the hospital are greater than the days that you were in the hospital. The days that you woke up and you didn't have a need in your body are hopefully greater and more than likely greater than the days you woke up with a pain in your side or a pain in your head or something wrong. And so I want to encourage you, it is God's will to prosper you so that you have more than you need. But one of the greatest promises and the wish of this apostle was, as he said, I want you to be in health. You know why we want a healthy you? We want a longevity and a long life you. We want you living to be a ripe old age of 110, 115, 120. And I'm not talking about a dementia version. I'm not talking about an Alzheimer version. I'm talking about you are as sharp as a tack. You are still all of your faculties you've got. Can you imagine what you could accomplish if you are 60 years old and you've still got another 60 years left? Could you imagine what you could do for the kingdom of God instead of checking out at 85? God said, hey, let's just go ahead and take you to 115. Being in health gives you longevity. Not only does it give you longevity, but you are not a good you if you're always a sick you. If you're always thinking about, man, I got to get my healing, now all eyes are on you. And I think you have to be that way when you are receiving a healing and receiving something from God and in prayer about what you're going through. But let me just encourage you and remind you that God's plan for your life doesn't just include what you see in the mirror. God wants to use you to do great things. And if you are not healthy, you cannot be the God that the person that God created you to be. But I love how the King James Version ties all of this together. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The way that John writes this text is he attaches our prosperity and our health to a parallel of our spiritual health. And there's a lot of us that we are being attacked in our body and we are being attacked in the prospering department. And what we don't realize is that's a symptom of something that's going on underneath the surface. See, I know that if I'm spiritually strong, the devil, doesn't matter what he tries to do to my body, he will not win. I know that if I'm everything that I need to be as a man in faith and in the Word of God, and how I'm walking and living my life, church, I know this, that no matter what comes my way, that God is going to win because my soul is prospering, everything else connected to me prospers, and my health follows my soul prospering. Turn to your neighbor and tell him your soul needs to prosper. Some of us treat church or treat God like we do our physician. The only time we go and see them is when something hurts. I'm thinking about sending a gift basket to my primary care physician 6 months after a visit and just say, hey, just glad that I haven't had to see you in 6 months. He probably would appreciate that. I don't know. He's probably liking all of the insurance money and everything he's getting from the Fender House these days. But I want to encourage you that in these moments where things are not like they should be, rather than fall apart, rather than break down, you don't need to break down and you don't need to take a break. You need a breakthrough. And a breakthrough never happens when you're worried about your prosperity and you're worried or scared about your health. A breakthrough happens when you are spiritually strong and your soul is prospering. I need to holler at about 12 or 14 people that you've been going through hell in your health. You've been going through hell in your house. Your mind has been playing tricks on you. Your flesh has been betraying you. I want to encourage, get your mind off of all of those things and get it back on Jesus, his word, and his promise, and let God prosper your soul. And I promise you, as your soul begins to prosper, it is going to elevate and pull up every part of your prosperity and every part of your health. When your soul prospers, your health and your prosperity prospers right along with it. Somebody say, it is God's will to heal. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus shows up at the temple. I love when Jesus showed up at church. Jesus shows up at church. One time he flips over tables, swings a whip, chases everybody out. This is another time Jesus went. I don't think he was invited to do this, but he just grabbed the book of Isaiah, flipped to chapter 61, and he recites this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, this is Jesus giving us a supreme example of what the anointing can do for you. He's all God in this moment, and he is all man in this moment. He is not half God and half man. He is all God and he is all man. Why would God need to be anointed? God doesn't need to be anointed. The man needs to be anointed. You and I, we must have the anointing on our lives if we are going to live a life of health and healing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus said in verse 18. Because he has anointed me, and he never anoints you just so you look cute or smell good. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. There that word is again. Remember Luke chapter 9. He calls his disciples. He gives them power and authority to do what? To preach two things: to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. He said he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Isn't it amazing that right here, I don't even know if we should go here, but let's go here. Two times when Jesus could have dealt with the poor like we would want Jesus to deal with the poor, he did not. One example of what Jesus would say to the poor, to the homeless, to those that need something. This is what Jesus would say one time. He said when they said, This alabaster box in the waste, he said, the disciples said, we could have sold this and give the money to the poor. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you, I will not always be here with you. That's one thing that he said. Here's something else that Jesus didn't say, give to the poor here. He said, preach the gospel to the poor. I'm not saying don't give to the poor. I'm saying let God lead you as you give to the poor. I'm saying don't take money or food out of your own kid's mouth to make it happen for someone else. Is getting quiet. That's all right. He said, preach the gospel to the poor, because it goes back to that old adage, you teach a man, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. He said, in this instance, he didn't say give to the poor. He said preach to the poor, because he said if you preach the word the right way, they won't stay poor. And poor is not always a money or a house thing. Poor is a depletion. Remember, prosperity is more than enough. Poor is not having enough. So he said, he's anointed me. The first thing he's anointed me to do is to deal with the source, not the symptom. Them being poor is not the source. That's the symptom. They are bankrupt of something. They don't have enough of something. There is a deficiency in their life. And so he said, when you preach the gospel, if it's preached the right way and they receive it the right way, they're not going to be poor very much longer. They are literally going to put what they heard to use and to practice, and prosperity is going to show up to the poorhouse, and they're not going to be poor no more. Somebody say amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There that word is, heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Remember, anytime we talk about deliverance, deliverance is still healing. It's just healing in a different area. He said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Here's the first time where he's mentioned an actual physical ailment. It can be construed both ways. It can be figurative, blind, having no vision, or it can be literally blind and you can't see. He said, I've come for recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those that are bruised, which is a different way of saying this, because he said, I've come to give them liberty. I've come to bring freedom to those who have been hurt. I love that, because a lot of times we talk about healed over hurt. If you've been hurt, you need healed. Sometimes if you've been hurt, you need to be freed. Listen to this. You need to be freed from what hurt you. Because if you don't get freed from what hurt you, church, you'll get hurt again. Maybe not by the same person, but in the same way. See, one of the greatest things you can do, church, listen to what I'm about to say, is take the weapon away from the adversary and say, you don't have permission to hurt me like that ever again. I am taking that weapon out of your arsenal. I'm taking that gun out of your hand. I'm taking the bullet out of the chamber. I'm not going to let gossip affect me like gossip used to. I'm not going to let depression affect me like depression used to. I want to be freed from what hurt me. Liberty to those who are bruised. You know what a bruise is? When you are cut, an open wound bleeds on the outside, a bruise bleeds under the surface. There's a lot of us that we cover the bruises. We can put makeup over the bruises. We can wear clothes over the bruises because we want to hide from people. But remember, confess your faults. Let the people that can pray for you know about what's going on under the surface. And just because you're not bleeding all over everyone and everywhere doesn't mean that your hurt does not matter. It might be hurting under the surface, and you might have been carrying it a long time and a long ways off. But I want to encourage you today. God has come to heal you, but God has come to free you from what hurt you. And I just want to declare, if you give it to Jesus tonight, you'll never be hurt like that again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is where we'll end tonight. Just got a few moments left. And as I've gone into a deep dive, see, the last 2 months, this healed hurt series was my personal devotion series because of what Pastor Mandy has been fighting. And praise God, if you weren't here Sunday, she's doing a whole lot better, and she's getting good reports every day. And she's next door tonight loving on your kids and teaching your kids tonight. And she's getting back to we've taken out the phrase, you're getting back to normal. It's the new Mandy, praise God. Just regenerated in Jesus' name. But a lot of what you're hearing, most of what you're hearing, is my personal devotion as we've walked this valley with God on what God has shown me about healing. And what God has echoed in my spirit about healing and health. And this is one of the scriptures when I started diving deep on every, and I've been reading every verse I can about healing. You don't want to, and I don't know if we'll get it here tonight or actually in this series. This might have just been for me, but I'll just give this to somebody. You know one of the greatest books of the Bible on healing? Jeremiah. There are more scriptures about being healed, about God touching and healing and bringing health in Jeremiah than almost any other one book in the Bible. It's amazing when you actually get in the book what you'll find. So I encourage you, dive deep in that book. Second Chronicles, he took me a different way because we always declare this over our nation, over our world, but not really over us. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, if my people, that's a big if my people which are called by my name, what's the name? Jesus. We sang about it. Use that name with all of its power. If you're sick, use that name. By the stripes on Jesus' back, I am healed. Jesus has made me healthy. Jesus has paid it all for me to walk in healing. If my people, that's us, which are called by my name, that's him, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We always use this every 4 years during election seasons. When there's a school shooter, most pastors will quote this, or they'll get their social media team to make a nice graphic and put this up there. But can I tell you that we can't have a nation that heals until the people have healed? The nation is just a sum of parts. You and I are those parts. Some of you are saying, God, I want my family healed. A family is a collection of individuals, and we need individuals to heal before the family can be whole and before a church can be healed. We need individuals to be healed, which means individuals like you and I have to receive the revelation of healing and the revelation of wholeness and being whole, praise God. And so I want to encourage you. I want Living Way to be healthy. I want Living Way to be whole. I want Living Way to walk in healing and all of the good things that God died to give us. But I want to encourage you. I don't want most of us. I want the whole enchilada, 100% of us. I want us healthy in mind, healthy in body, healthy in soul, healthy in spirit, healthy in ministry. I want our leadership healthy, praise God. I want everybody that runs a camera healthy, everybody that sings on the worship team healthy. I want every Sunday school healthy. I want every Sunday school and Catalyst Kids teacher healthy. I want everybody that is walking on this, I want us healthy. A lot of times we're saying, God, heal our land, heal our home. And God's saying, I want to start with you. He said, your mind's healthy, your body's not. Or your body's healthy, your mind's not. He said, I want us, if my people. There's three things that I want to pull out of this text real quick in my final minute. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humbleness and humility. If you were at our last Manpower Hour a couple weeks ago at 6 a.m., we talked about being men of humility. Men that walk with humbleness. Humility is not thinking of yourself less. It's thinking of yourself last. Not thinking of yourself less, not woe is me. I forgot all that woe is me stuff before Jesus because now I'm a child of God. And it's not woe is me, it's man, God is so great in me. Thank you, Jesus. Said, if you will humble yourselves, humble and being humble is a posture. I used to preach a lot when I was a young man on position. Your position dictates a lot of what God does. And then God corrected me as I matured and he said, position is important, but it's not as important as posture. Here's how I know that. This building has a few hundred people here on a Wednesday night. You have all positioned yourself here. But just because you have shown up at church doesn't mean that anything's going to happen in your life. But for some of us, we didn't just position ourselves at 7 o'clock at Living Way Church. We positioned ourselves and then we postured ourselves. Say, what were all those people doing up at the front here at the beginning of service during praise and worship? They were posturing. In just a few moments, you're going to stand to your feet, and there's going to be about 50, 75, maybe 100 people are going to hit this altar. You say, what are they coming to an altar for? They weren't happy with just positioning, being in church. They wanted to have a moment with God, and so they postured themselves. And so God said, before I can heal you, I need you to posture yourself. I need you to get in the right posture. See, getting in the right posture doesn't always mean that you're on your knees or on your face before God, because I've gotten in the right posture driving my truck into town, praise God. I've gotten in the right posture in a waiting room, waiting on a doctor's report or waiting on a surgery to finish. I have postured myself in courtrooms while I was there for a character witness for somebody that God had put in my life. I postured myself out at the barn before when I got a text or a phone call that I didn't like. Can I just encourage you? Positional means you're at church, but posture, that can happen anywhere, at any time. God is omnipresent, and so anytime you need God, if you posture yourself, he said, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face. First we get in posture, and then we start to pray. Could it be that the reason you think your prayers are going unanswered is you are praying from an unpostured heart? Listen to this, church. There's a lot of empty prayers. There's a lot of people praying that don't have a relationship with God. There are a lot of people that are praying that have no faith. There are a lot of people praying that have no word to stand on and declare. But we are not those people. We are full of the Word of God. And if you're not, I've got good news for you. There's an app for that. And you can read the Word of God anywhere at any time. And the more Word you get in you, it's going to help with your posture. But can I encourage you, before you pray, make sure that your heart is postured. Make sure that your heart is in directional equivalent where God is and what God is saying and what God is doing. He said, I need my people to humble themselves and get in the right posture. And then he said, I need them to pray. Said, when they pray, something is going to happen. But before it happens, he said, before I hear their prayers, he said, I need them to do something else. First, we posture. Second, we pray. Said, you posture, you humble yourselves, you pray and seek my face, and you turn from your wicked ways. Number one, we posture. Number two, we pray. Number three, we pivot. Can God depend on you to pivot? Can God depend on you on a Thursday morning? You're going this way and God says, pivot. And you hear God enough to turn. I leaned over to Sister Tammy before service, or before I got up to speak. And I said, here's the question. Can God, or will God heal you if you keep making decisions that you could change the outcome on your own, but you just want him to heal you? Explain that, Pastor. And I know I'm taking a couple minutes here, but I think this is such a great truth. Sometimes we pray for a miracle, and we should pray for discipline. Sometimes we pray, God, heal me from lung cancer, but you can't put the cancer sticks down. And I know God can. And I'm sure he has. But when we come to an altar and we ask God to heal us or our nation or our land, but we're not doing our parts by posturing, by praying, and by pivoting, why would God do the impossible when the very little possible that he's called us to do, we don't do? We've all been hurt. We've all been in need of a healing. Sometimes our healing is delayed because our posturing is delayed and our pivoting is delayed. I have no doubt that you pray. I have no doubt that you pray a lot. Bishop preached a sermon years ago called You Pray More Than You Think. I have no doubt that at the stoplight you're praying. When you wake up and roll out of bed, you're talking to God, going to bed, you're talking. But I need to know, is that prayer coming from a postured heart and a pivoted body? Standing on your feet. I share with the leadership team before church. I think it's important anytime we share a foundational truth that we find an example in the Bible or multiple examples. And so always my go-to for the pivot example is Moses in the burning bush. Moses was out doing his own thing, and a bush caught on fire, but it did not consume the bush. And as we know, God was in that. God started that fire. God spoke from the fire. But the Bible literally says that Moses turned and looked. What if Moses had kept walking? What if Moses had kept working? What if Moses had kept praying and God's like, hey, I'm over here and I'm talking already. You're praying for an answer and I'm over here. You just need to pivot. And as I was studying today, just a little more, to go a little bit deeper, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8, I think it's verse 36, that there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Philip sees him, runs him down and asks him if he understands what he's reading, explains to him water baptism, and the Bible says that as they are talking, the man looks and says, hey, there's water right here. What keeps me from being baptized? And Philip says, as long as you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, he said, you too can be baptized. The eunuch said, well, I want to be baptized right now. What if the eunuch said, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. That's big for me, y'all. We pray about things in the Word of God that are already done. You don't need to pray if it's the will of God to heal you. Praise God. He wants to heal you. You don't need to pray about serving. You just need to serve. You can pray about where you serve. And I think it's amazing that God just intertwines all of these things. Isaiah, we started there tonight, when Jesus shows up and says, I'm anointed to preach, to heal. He picks up the book of Isaiah, the eunuch sitting in the chariot. He's reading Isaiah. I want to encourage you tonight. There are already a couple dozen people in this altar that have said, God, I'm ready to posture myself. I'm a person of prayer, but Lord, I want my prayer to go deeper. I want it to run further. But God, I'm ready to posture. And God, whatever you call me to do tonight, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to turn towards what you say and what you do. If you're in this altar already, I want you to just get in a posture. I don't know if that posture is hands uplifted. I don't know if that posture is like one of our leaders, Larry, who's knelt down here at the altar. I don't know if you're back at your seat and you're not going to come down to the altar, but if you just want to make your seat an altar, you can turn around and kneel down at that seat right now. Make that seat an altar. But I want all of us to begin to pray the prayer of faith. But I want us to pray it from a postured heart. And I want us to pray it from a pivoted mind that, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm turning that direction and I will give my all and I will pursue you. God, I want to be healed. God, I want to be healthy. God, I want to be whole. But it starts with a postured heart, a praying believer, and one who has pivoted their focus to you, Jesus. Man, I love seeing people hit their knees in this altar, because every time I see someone on their knees, I think there's somebody who got it before they had to, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But for those of us that have already knelt a foot at the cross and knelt a knee at an altar, we're saying, Jesus, you don't have to force me to do it. I want to do it out of love. If you're anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus,